A recent report from the United Workers Australia on the early education sector paints a dire picture for the future of early childhood education and care in Australia. The report found 73% of early educators plan to leave the historically female sector within 3 years, with one of the main reasons being feeling undervalued. So what's behind this lack of appreciation, and what needs to be done to turn it around? Here to answer those questions is Early Education Director Helen Gibbons. So thank you for joining me. Let's jump right into it. The report title, Exhausted, Undervalued and Leaving, The Crisis in Early Education, gives us a pretty good glimpse at its findings, but could you just give us a quick summary?
Yeah, we surveyed 4,000 early educators across Australia. And when I say early educators, we really focused on people who worked in long day care centres. Childcare centres are commonly called. There's lots of different sorts of early education, but we particularly wanted to talk to people who worked in long day care. And this is the largest survey that we know of its kind, where we spoke directly to early educators and said, tell us what you think. How are you feeling about your job? How are you feeling about your work? What's your intention in relation to your work? And what are the drivers of that decision making? Because we know that there's been a bit of a crisis in early education for a long time, but we really wanted to uncover the extent of it. And this wasn't really about COVID, to be honest. Some of it was made worse by COVID, but this was a crisis that existed before COVID. So we asked some questions about COVID, but really this was about a pretty long-term, long-standing issue in early education.
So when you say a long time, can you give me like approximately just how long are we talking here?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I wish that the news on that was better, because this has been going on forever, right? When you look at what's happening in early education, it has really kind of long-standing roots. The people who work in long daycare, 97% of them are women, and they look after very young children. And when you think about people who look after their young children, and you think about people who work in the care sector and are predominantly female, what you uncover in that is a whole heap of systemic undervaluation. It's all wrapped up in how we view women's work and what's traditionally been seen as women's work. So, when you ask how long it's been going on like forever, right? The undervaluation of women's work. What we know is that the childcare sector has been booming. Like, there has been more and more centres built, and there is an increasing need for people to work in this sector to look after our community's children. And it's also become increasingly professionalised. You can't work in the sector without a qualification, and you have enormous skills and enormous responsibilities. And yet the pay has barely shifted. How we view the sector has probably barely shifted as well. And that's been driving this increasing shortage of early educators. Why would you want to work in the sector when you can't afford to raise your own children if you work in the sector? We know that a lot of people who stay in the sector long term do so because they rely on their partner's income rather than relying on their own income. And we were hearing increasing reports of shortages of early educators, and we wanted to unpack that and work out how big of an issue that was. As well as uncovering all of that, we know that the regulatory body, ASEQA, had predicted that we need 40,000 more early educators in Australia over the next few years. So we knew that there's this kind of tidal wave of need coming towards us in terms of increased jobs. And at the same time, we currently were experiencing shortages, and we suspected that early educators were feeling pretty pessimistic about their work. And that's what the report uncovered. And the report uncovered that early educators are not happy with how they're perceived in the community. They're not happy about their work and are increasingly intending to leave the sector.
It's funny that, like, when I was reading the report and there was this recurring theme that these educators felt undervalued, I would have thought that, like, in my opinion, this industry of shaping Australia's, future minds should be, revered. So is it, like, Is Australia as a society just underappreciating early educators? And if so, is that related to what you said earlier about it being typically like women's work, or, you know, having that kind of connotation?
Yeah, I think the historical roots of this is that this has been perceived as women's work, that the care and education of very young children is not seen as important as the care and education of older children. It's like the community thinks that children magically start learning at five, when actually they start learning right from the very beginning. And the care and education of babies, their brain is developing at a much faster rate than when they go to primary school. But as a community, we've not seen that that period of a child's life as important, and we've not seen women's work as important. And you put those two things together, and there's this historical undervaluation of the work that they do. And I think it's changed. I think it's getting better. We've done a whole bunch of research into what the community thinks. And on the whole, parents who have used early education understand the importance of early education. And increasingly, parents use early education, and the young people who are having children today probably went to early education when they were young as well. So it's changing over time. But, you know, what hasn't changed is educators' wages. They haven't really shifted at all.
So you mentioned earlier, which actually caught me off guard, that by 2023 we're going to need like 40,000 more workers in this sector. Yet your report showed an unsustainable turnover level. Specifically, I think what was most jarring was almost half of educators would not recommend ECEC as a career. Can you just, you've kind of touched on it a bit, but break down the causes behind that?
Yeah, so we found that 37% of educators intended to leave. Of those, a really high proportion intended to leave in the next few years. And so this is really kind of a crunchy time period that we've got all these educators intending to leave. And I suspect that they're only staying at the moment because we're in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, it's harder to find work. Mm-hmm. What was really concerning was the number of people who intended to stay but thought about leaving all the time. And they are really at risk of leaving because they're probably kind of hanging on the edge about whether they're going to stay or not. And there's this really high percentage of people who are saying that even if they stay, that they wouldn't recommend a career in early education. And there was three top reasons that were driving the decision-making of early educators in relation to this. The top three reasons were, the first one was excessive workload and insufficient time to do their job. And what they're saying when they say that is that they are really committed to early education and they know that their work is really important to children. And they know that their work is really important to the community, but they are put in a position where they can't do it to the best of their ability and they can't do it to their own standards. And that's because they're expected to clean, or there's shortages of educators so they don't get their planning time, or they have too many children in their room and so they can't manage, or, you know, there's a whole bunch of different reasons that are kind of driving that kind of excessive workload and not able to do my job properly. So that was the first reason. The second reason was low pay, people who said that they just couldn't afford to stay. And we see a big dropout of early educators when they're ready to have their own families because they can't manage to juggle having their own families and staying in early education. And the third reason was that they felt undervalued. Often that's not by the parents. The parents can be really appreciative of the work that early educators do. I think that is what that is talking about, is they felt undervalued by their employers a lot, and they felt undervalued by the government. And this was writ large last year when there were so many decisions made about early educators where early educators didn't feel listened to or valued or have any agency in that decision making. So they, you know, had JobKeeper ripped away from them. They lost their job security. There was decisions made about whether centres would open or close. All that kind of stuff was happening and they weren't being consulted, and employers were making decisions about them and they weren't being consulted. So they feel that they're not appreciated for the contribution that they make and they're not listened to.
Yeah. So just lastly, to finish up, what kind of reforms do we need to kind of turn this industry around and keep, you know, those educators in this sector?
Well, I think you can't turn around the turnover issues or the shortages issues in early education unless you actually listen to early educators. And early educators in this survey told us really clearly what is driving their decision making. What's driving their decision making is an excessive workload, it's low pay and feeling undervalued. And without addressing those three things, you can't turn it around. The federal government at the moment is looking at a 10-year workforce strategy to try and address this in early education. But there's a very real danger that they're just going to ignore the elephant in the room about what early educators are saying, which is why we did the survey. They're going to ignore pay and conditions, and they're probably going to ignore excessive workload and what educators said about sufficient time to do planning and sufficient time to do cleaning, et cetera. Anything that the federal government does or any employer does to fix this issue is really a band-aid unless they address those three things. The feeling valued for the contribution that you do and giving some agency and voice to early educators in that space, addressing the awful pay that early educators get for the contribution that they make, and doing something about the workload and giving educators the capacity to do their job well and the time to do their job well.
Hopefully we see some reforms and some changes. Thank you for joining us. That was Early Education Director Helen Gibbons talking about the recent report, Exhausted, Undervalued and Leaving, the Crisis in Early Education. For more information or to make sure you don't miss an episode of Yours, Mine and Femme, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at YMF_2SER.